B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Newton joined by Johnson behind him in the backfield. Cam has rushed for a score and thrown for a score. Johnson now shifts to his left. Newton takes the snap. He runs it to the left. Cam Newton is in for the touchdown, his second of the night.
It's a big boy drive, Cam.
Respond to the Seattle score. Hey, they still have life out in the great Northwest.
Come on, O-line.
3 seconds to go. First and goal to go. Newton has Izzo to his right in the backfield. Johnson behind him. Newton from the pistol. Two tight ends left, two to the right. Johnson shifts to his left hip. Snap to Newton. Nope. He's got a right left. He's hit behind the line, and he somersaults to the two. The Seahawks celebrate as they stop Newton for a loss on the run. And Seattle will win it over the Patriots 35-30.
Man, does that stink.
Okay.
That's exactly what he was asked.
That's not the conversation we were having for the first 5 minutes of this break.
It just was.
I think Fred's point was you should have called the timeout earlier.
No, John, you weren't paying attention.
No, I was out. You're telling me I wasn't paying attention? Of course I'm paying attention.
You're watching TV.
The kid called onto the back of class when he's fallen asleep.
First 5 minutes of this break.
It just was.
I think 98.5 the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich.
That's
from
bad.
7 o'clock.
Sounds pretty bad listening back to it.
Arguing about the clock management.
Explosion sound effect in there. His brain explodes.
Well, Fred looked at me like, "All right, your turn." I'm like, "Yeah, there's a
Rich and I
there.
Are talking about who said what, and John's just sitting there watching TV like there's nobody's business. He's having the time of his life. He's watching TV. I can see during an interview. Like, because it's hard for 4 hours to stay completely focused. It is. I mean, I certainly drift off all the time. Or if I get a text, I might answer a text. But it's generally during when we have guests on. Because even asking a question to someone, that's already been asked kind of, I can understand because you're kind of just, like, phasing out. But during a conversation of which you are
spirited
a part
sports
of,
debate, yes.
Well, at that point, we were talking about who said what, and you just weren't even there for me. All right. Bob Soucy is the voice of the New England. But by the way, some things never change. According to Twitter, I'm an a-hole by a lot of people. Bob Soucy is the voice of the New England Patriots.
And I'm a whiner. So you're right. Some things never change.
Right. As Bob Soucy is the voice of the New England Patriots on 98.5 The Sports on Patriots Radio Network. And Bob's hot takes are powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's a hot cup of Bigelow Tea. Before every game, hot takes and hot tea, Bigelow TT. Proudly, Bob joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Bob Soucy, all right. So anyway you slice it, it was, they played a lot. They played Seattle a lot better than I thought they would. But I do want to just add to what we were just playing a replay of. They mismanaged the clock at the end of that game, the Patriots.
Well, by the way, I think 23 seconds that went off the clock from the time that Cam Newton completed the pass to Julian Edelman down to the 13-yard line. They had one timeout left, and since the head coach didn't answer the question in the post-game press conference, does that mean that I can get out of here without answering it in this case?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I mean, Bob, I don't want you to sacrifice your job no. by calling out the... Belichick was... asked why he didn't take the timeout, and he was kind of dumbfounded by it. It didn't even sound like he knew really what the guy was talking about, even though it was a perfectly legitimate question. But they should have clocked the ball, at least clocked the ball in that situation, or at least run a play without letting 27 seconds run off, 23 seconds.
I think if you get to the line of scrimmage, then you don't clock it there, because what's the point? You know, by the time you get to the line of scrimmage, they were ready to snap it. I think maybe part of the thinking that goes into it in that case by snapping it and running the play to try to catch Seattle off guard, and the play was
there.
I think there's a choice you make. Okay, do you want more time and maybe another play or two with no timeouts, or do you want that timeout and allow yourself even if it's with a fewer number of plays, in this case it's a couple of plays, to have more of the field with which to work. If you take the timeout and you don't have any timeouts, and again I'm trying to play this all out in my mind and come to some you know reason why,
because your argument's already flawed.
Because they were able to throw to the middle of the field and they got to the one. How many times do you see drives end in that territory where teams in the red zone, but you know, as coaches always say, and Belichick is one that has told us this innumerable times, when you get out down in that 23, the field gets compacted. And now the end line, the sidelines become almost, you know, allies of the defense. They squeeze everything to the middle, and you have less field with which to work. So, you know, maybe this gives you the opportunity to still throw to the middle of the field and have that timeout. And they got to the one. They gave themselves a chance from the one-yard line to score the game-winning touchdown.
Here's why you're – because if you rush to the line and clock the ball, they were taking their sweet time at that point. So you're putting it in a world where all the time is equal – and that they run that play, but fine, don't call the timeout, but at least have some sort of urgency. And you're right, they get one or two more plays out of it, and because I don't have any problem with the play they called the last play of the game. I think that's really second guessing. And if Cam would have thrown, and there, it would have been incomplete, we would have been killing them this morning. So obviously, and if you have the jumbo packages, Bob, I mean that's up to them. I mean you're saying. You got 1 yard. We got a 260.
Absolutely, Fred. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree totally with that. Because, you know, I think you look at that play has been unstoppable for them in two games.
Right.
And in this case, even though, you know, people could say it was a predictable formation, that the Seahawks knew it was coming, if the safety doesn't blow up the fullback on that play and completely undercut Johnson in the backfield, I think Newton scores.
Oh, yeah.
I like my chances, Newton one-on-one against a cornerback, if he's able to bounce it outside and drive in from the – you know, contact at the two as opposed to being contacted in the backfield at his feet, you know, because the fullback gets submarine by the safety. There's a tremendous play by the Seattle safety, Lano Hill, and then, you know, it enabled Collier, the right defensive end, to make the play, make the stop. So I don't really find fault in that when you look. I just think Seattle made a great defensive play in that spot, and you want the ball in Newton's hands.
Yeah.
He's the number one option there.
On the other side of things, it's tough to judge how poorly a defense does giving up that many touchdowns when you have a dude on the other side that just is, I mean, he's insane. I mean, some people think that Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. I still think it's probably still Russell Wilson. That guy he's unreal. When you saw, like, out of all the touchdowns that were scored yesterday and all the points, how would you rate how the defense played yesterday?
You know, what most concerned me about the defense wasn't the passing defense, because you're right. I think Russell Wilson, and I think if you put him in Andy Reid's offense with the weapons that the Kansas City Chiefs have, I think he is.
Mahomes threw a pass yesterday where he was in the air and threw a phenomenal dagger 30 yards
he's
under.
Great. He's
he
great.
Was in
he's
the
phenomenal.
Effing
he's
air.
Great. He's great. I mean, they're both. I mean, it's like, what are we arguing about? Who is better, Willie Mays, Joe DiMaggio? Who is better?
Willie. What are you raising? No. It's Willie Mays. That's easy. What's your problem? I kid.
You're talking to the son of a dad who idolized Joe DiMaggio as a kid. So, but anyway, I think, you know, it's, yeah. But I think to my point about the defense, what concerned me most last night was the yardage that Seattle was able to get, particularly on the edges, because I think that was one of the concerns off of last year's second half of the season. You go back to the Baltimore game and then fast forward through the playoffs against the Tennessee Titans and the Patriots. You know, I like the middle of the defensive line with Guy and Butler, but they are thin. And I think the linebacker core, we all knew, was a big question mark coming in. And, you know, I think there are concerns moving forward because teams like Kansas City and teams like Baltimore that are multidimensional, they're going to really stress that defense. And I think the Patriots have got to find an answer. Certainly, I thought last night that was a concern for me because the coverage, frankly, on two of those three touchdown passes, you know, it was hard to be any better. Jason McCourty's jostling more of his great plan, a great throw. And, you know, Metcalf is a beast.
Yeah, but still,
that was a great matchup.
But still, Gilmore, that's your number one corner, and that's your best player on defense. And he has been very poor, Gilmore.
Yeah, it's not last year. Games. It's very plain to see, Bob. You have to admit, the first two games,
I mean, when you have Ryan Fitzpatrick continually targeting you, enforcing two pass interference penalties. I understand he had an interception, but he got beat deep for a touchdown and committed two penalties. And then you see Russell Wilson do the same thing the next week. This is not last year. This is a different Stephon Gilmore, at least at the beginning of the season.
Well, I think again, John, look at the throw, look at the catch by Metcalf. Gilmore's got his hand in there. He probably knocks that ball out against a receiver who's not as big and strong.
Metcalf abused him.
It was a good matchup all night long.
And you know who I like, though? You know who's getting better? It's Chase Winovich. He just absolutely destroyed Carlos Hyde yesterday on that one play. I mean, on TV, he actually hit him off the screen when they did the replay. It was phenomenal. I like what he's kind of becoming.
Yeah, I do, too. He plays with incredible effort. He's playing this year with a better knowledge overall of the defense. And, last year he was used primarily as a pass rusher. Now we're seeing him move around a bit. He's playing inside. He's playing outside. I think he's becoming more of a complete player. I think a guy who impressed me with his physicality last night was Kyle Duggar, the rookie. He came in on a couple of blitzes and completely, pushed the lineman back for Seattle, particularly the center. It was incredible to watch this, safety come in with the kind of impact that he had on a couple of those plays. One of them, I think, led to a sack for the Patriots, at least led to an incompletion on some pressure. So, he's a guy that did really well. And you have to excuse me, I was trying to answer the call of a child in dire need of some help during school.
Tell Zolak to be quiet.
Remote school.
Yeah. He's already turned off the TV, so John can't watch it. That was the first thing he did when he came in.
I thought last night overall, and again, when it comes to the Patriots, you guys know that I tend to look at the glasses half full, not three quarters.
You're audibly crapping your pants about just regular questions if they mismanage the clock or if Gilmore sucks. I mean, you're very nervous.
Oh, no, I'm not nervous at all.
All right.
I was trying to make a joke about the time. I'm just trying to hold my focus and keep my attention what you guys are saying.
We'll let you go.
No, right.
No, Bob, it's fine. We love talking to you. We love Bigelow Tea. But seriously, enjoy your family. You didn't have to go to Seattle yesterday. You lucked out.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, I bet you can ask me about the booth. And I said, can I just give great credit to our chief engineer, Dennis Knutson, who did a phenomenal job. I think your audience should hear it as large as your audience is.
All right, very good. My goodness. What are you, accepting an Oscar? Jesus Christ. Dennis is a great engineer.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
He's really good.
Yeah, what are you doing? You're thanking a bunch of people for the broadcast last night? Go screw. I mean, come on. Is this real life? It's like we're sitting around a dinner table.
Yeah, so.
I mean, come on. Am I wrong?
It did take a very strange left turn, and he did get very nervous
when
you discussed a couple of things.
Jesus, I mean, we're just talking about the game on the field. I didn't ask him about anything off the field.
Kind of like me when I'm caught. I start talking much faster.
My Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, you broadcast from Gillette, where you broadcast normally.
That's got to be heaven on earth, especially for this season, and I've talked to Zolak about this. They have 4 West Coast road trips this year.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't have to go on any of them.
That's nice.
It is. You just go to Foxborough. What is he? He's like 7 minutes from his house?
Yeah.
Not a bad thing.
I think. All right. Very good. I tell you what, if you're wearing glasses today, you're having problems on this show between you and Sosie. Mm-hmm. Hachi Machi.
Mm-hmm.
Thanking the engineers for it. Do we know why he was thanking the engineers?
He was just saying the booth experience during a road game, it sounded like they were actually there, and that had to do with Dennis's work. I think that's where he was going.
Do you get it, Rich?
I didn't even realize that they hadn't gone. So, I mean, it sounded good on the broadcast, and maybe he was just wanting to say how they did it. I don't really know where he's going, because this is all kind of blowing my mind right now, but so I'm assuming that's kind of where we were going.
I don't have any idea what he was doing. He didn't want to get off the phone. He just wanted to thank people. All right. What, Dan?
I asked when I put him on hold because I called him this morning because obviously Nick bailed on us. I asked him what it was like, and I said, "Hey, you know, what was the experience like? Were you actually physically in the booth or somewhere else in the stadium?" And he told me that they were in the booth, and it was a fantastic job. And there was two different feeds and stuff like. So I was a little bit curious at that.
Well, I would like to thank Dennis for making it possible for this show to be on the air.
Every single day, Dennis does that. Yes.
Yes. I mean, Dennis works with us, too. So I would like
but
to
he was
thank-
also trying to pay you a compliment by saying, do you understand the depth and the breadth of this audience and the people that are listening?
Yeah, good. Well, okay. Thanks. All right. Good. There you go. Okay. Now everyone's off kilter. Got John watching TV and Sosie thanking everyone. I'd like to thank Marconi for inventing the medium of radio. Oh, all right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. John's watching TV. Nick's gone. Sosie's got kids. The whole world's falling apart.
Phone's ringing off the hook.
Phone's ringing. No one's
phone ringing off the hook.
Phone.
No one's answering.
No one's answering the phone.
I need Nick.
It's actually a compliment.
Yes.
We actually need Nick. All right. Whoever you are, hello.
Hey, you guys, hey.
Hey.
Hey, real quick, I just want to say, Fred, it's just so good to have you back, man. And, it's just my world has been set right. So just thank you and, keep going. And Rich, I don't think you're getting enough credit as to what you did during that time. I really appreciate, you were almost losing me, at least, with the Corona talk, and you really dialed it back, and you were great. You had a lot of, brought a lot of great stuff to the show during that time. So just thank you and Dan. Obviously, no thanks to Nick. He contributes
right, thank
nothing.
You. You're doing, I understand. We're doing, thank you to everyone here at the radio show. I get it.
Everyone, it's like the Emmys. Everyone's inspired from last night. You know, everyone's making their acceptance speeches.
I get the joke. All right. I just was answering the phone. I didn't know what he was going to say. All right.
That was a good joke. Good call.
I agree. I completely agree. All right. Very good, Rich. Now, yesterday at Fenway, there was some chicanery.
Yes. Now, I don't know about you, but the Red Sox to me are literally the last thing that I'll watch. I mean, I'm talking.
Not 1 minute of the Red Sox.
This is within the past like couple weeks. I mean, I at the beginning of the season, I would have it on. I'd watch it. I'd put it on the background.
I was in rehab for a good chunk of it. But second of all, I don't even watch the Cardinals. I mean, I watched the Cardinals for about 10 minutes yesterday. This baseball season's just stupid, except for Voit, or whatever the kid's name is from the Yankees who hits home runs every 5 seconds.
Luke Voit.
Yeah, Voit. So you looked at me like I was speaking Esperanto.
No, you were talking Cardinals, and I was thinking, okay.
Calm down. Just pay attention. All right, go ahead. What's going on?
So obviously this is just one of the many games I did not watch yesterday, and now I wish I did, because in the middle of the game, all of a sudden, there was a guy who somehow was able to get into Fenway Park, and this happened.
Who's that yelling?
Hey, here we go.
wonder how he got into the ballpark.
Wonder if Eckersley,
that's him screaming there.
I wonder if Eckersley was like, oh, man, I wonder if that sues his husband.
Coming back to take revenge.
I wonder if it's one of the Makalaki twins.
Write that one down.
I wonder if it's one of the Makalaki twins' husband.
So if you saw it, this guy somehow got into the stands and he started throwing stuff onto the field, like a hat onto the field. At one point, he actually started doing a couple of push-ups. So and I was looking for some details on this, and I did get a couple of details. Apparently, this dude got in by scaling up the back wall, Spider-Man style, over near where the bleacher bar is. Do you understand how tough that would be to do? Like,
what did he use as, like, holds to get up the wall?
I'm trying to imagine what that is. Is that one big flat wall, or is that, like...
I always thought it was. He, like, did it Jason Bourne style, like fingertips on exposed brick to lift himself up?
I've never really taken a look at it. We should ask Adolfo, because he's walked around that thing 10 times not knowing where he was. But yeah,
that's right.
Did he have any suction apparatuses or anything? I don't know exactly how you do
know.
That.
The way it was described as it was Spider-Man style 50 feet up that wall over by the bleacher bar. So he was able to somehow climb up there. And if he's a Spider-Man style, I'm assuming that didn't mean he had a rope or anything else to assist him. That was just, I'm getting in and pure, like, sheer will to climb up that wall. Now, I think aren't there people eating outside at that time too? Like, how does no one see this guy scale the wall? I think those restaurants still have tables out there.
If you see a guy scaling the wall, what are you going to... You're going to watch him scale the wall and hope he makes it
out. Hell yeah! Cool. You're going to take out the camera and you're going to film the dude. What's... Oh, my God. This guy might die.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything. I'm just like, ooh. Why ruin it?
But Rich's point is still good in that there's always one guy saying, hey, that guy shouldn't be up there. Call the police. Yeah. That guy...
Oh, no. You just sit and stare and wonder.
No, I would be one of those guys, but there's always one in the crowd. They're like, oh, hey, we gotta that guy could hurt himself. We gotta go all the
way. Nah, you let that ride. You sit there and just let it ride.
How is there not a video or a photo of this guy scaling a 50-foot wall to get into this place? So
I'm calling
the way
BS
it was described
on that.
To me.
I think that's something like that's revisionist history, that they're trying to make it sound like he didn't just walk in.
Maybe that might be the
case.
Because
if you're working security at Fenway right now, are you really paying attention? I mean, I'm not paying any attention.
No.
Who the hell wants to go in?
I'm
just sitting there.
You're shocked that anyone would try that hard to actually enter the ballpark to watch this team.
Or just no one's around. I mean, if you have so many days of no one coming around, you just kind of say, screw off.
Yeah. So apparently a bunch of people ran over to the guy, and he was screaming, bring back Lester and Ortiz. And every time, and remember, the game stopped there, and the players were looking up at him, and he kept yelling to the players, sorry, 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 bring back Lester, bring back Lester, sorry, sorry. He kept apologizing to the guys on the field. And then I guess they tried to talk him down, and he screamed, don't touch me. And the cops finally calmed him down. They took him out in an ambulance. Excuse me while I sneeze. Yeah, they took him into an ambulance not the jail, but to the hospital. So they brought him. I mean, the guy's obviously not right in the head, but he did not get arrested there. Like, they probably knew the guy, and they said, oh, okay, well, this is somebody that we've had issues with before.
Faster guy?
And no, not faster guy. Faster guy has been missing. He got zapped up to some other planet or something like that. I don't know where he went. He just left the face of the earth. But I need video. If he truly climbed up the wall like that, because that's what I've been told, that's insane. Someone had to have seen that, because that area is still open during games, right?
I have no idea. I haven't been to Fenway.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, they have tables and there's restaurants that are open and you can sit outside.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was super cold. I think it was fairly cold.
I haven't been into that part of Boston in forever. In
February for me.
Not even for me. Yeah, I haven't been in that part of Boston.
February is the last time I was even anywhere close to that ballpark.
Yeah, I haven't been there in forever, so I don't know. But yeah, if you're scaling the wall of Fenway Park, I would assume that someone could take a gander at you. And we all do have cell phones, so I would hope that's the case too. But whoever he is, get Nick on the case and let's get him talking to us. I'd like to hear what that guy has to say. There's no question about it. All right, Rich, we got the stat coming up. What will we discuss?
The Emmys were last night, and Jimmy Kimmel, he ends up hosting it, and was actually pretty funny last night.
A lot of humor, I would imagine, revolving around the coronavirus and how one needs to be socially distanced. I've not seen any of the Emmys. I know who won, but I'm going to guess there was coronavirus jokes and social distancing jokes aplenty. That is my guess. All right. Here are the headlines brought to you by one.
It just was.
I think Fred's point was.
And so there you go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There's John Wallach, who is sacrificing so much to bring you these headlines. Here you are.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, the right-eared assassin, John Wallach. Who is this brought to us by?
It's brought to us by Window Nation, Fred. Buy two, get two free sale, no down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
Got a hot tub going on right now.
Oh, yeah?
Very nice. Hot tub, yeah, baby. Orgies is all I got to say to you.
What size is the one that you got? Because we're thinking about getting one, but we don't have a ton of space to put it in.
I don't know. I've never seen it. So it's going in now. All I know is that, that there's like a lounge chair in it that you can lay on.
Oh,
like,
that's nice.
Like they built it into the like a little lounge, almost like a lounge chair that you could lay on. It's enough for four people. I know that. I mean, it's enough. I mean, certainly to swang. And that's kind of what we got it for. We call it the swingers' crock. That's where we get in
leave
there.
Leave your keys on the edge. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Leave your keys right there on the edge. Yeah. It's a big party.
Yeah, baby. Mm-hmm.
Well, last night was the Emmys, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. And it was, of course, very strange, it being all done on remote locations, socially distanced. And Jimmy Kimmel had a little bit of his monologue beforehand.
Well, hello and welcome to the Pandemies. Why are we having an award show in the middle of a pandemic? And what the hell am I doing here? This is the year they decide they have to have a host? Speaking of blue penises, the most nominated series of the year is Watchmen, with 26 nominations. Watchmen is a superhero show, but it also feels very real. It's a very realistic show, except for the part where anyone in Oklahoma is wearing a mask. Isn't Watchmen also what Jerry Falwell Jr. was into?
That's not a bad joke. That's a pretty good joke.
That's not Jerry a bad one.
Falwell Jr., I don't know if there's anything funny about his fall from grace. I mean, so he liked to watch his wife have sex with the pool boy.
That's right. I mean, it's like
and
a
scorpion. And that is confirmed. Yes, it is. Oh, I got to tell you. Okay, since we're on the air, there is a podcast that my friend told me about that is called, you'll love this. Okay, so it's called Wind of Change. And there is an episode about how Klaus Main was a tool, a double agent, and how he was a tool of the Russian government, and Wind of Change was written by the KGB in order to seduce Americans to loving the Soviet Union.
Okay, now, is this person have any kind of evidence, or is just a crazy
No, man? They talked to Dave the Snake Sabo from Skid Row about the Moscow Music Peace Festival. And how Doc McGee was in cahoots with the Russians and was trying to get, like, some kind of good feelings towards the Russians.
Well, that's why they included Gorky Park on that bill. Remember their hit song, Bang! Say ta-ta-ta-ta! Don't be yes, so let's feed the fire! Yeah. That's right.
Well, Wind Gorky of Change Park. Is from Pineapple Studios. I can tell you that much right now.
Oh, okay, very good. But some of the winners last night, first of all, I'm going to say only this once because I hate that I have to say this, and I'm only going to do it once because I'm going to say this name a bunch of times. It's S-C-H-I-T-T-S. Shits. It's the name of the town in the show.
I think once right? you've won enough, when you've won, you've sweeped the Emmys for comedies, you can say Shits Creek. I think
I'm saying this because I was apparently told by management I had to say that. So I'm saying it now, but for the rest of this break, I'm not going to refer to that. Shits Creek, it won all seven possible awards that you could win as a comedy show last night. It's the very first show to sweep. It won Best Comedy Series, Best Actor for Eugene Levy, Best Actress for Catherine O'Hara. Dan Levy, who is one of the creators, he won not only Best Supporting Actor, but also Direction and Writing as well. And Annie Murphy, who is the got Best Supporting Actress. That show is worth it. Like, that's one of the shows that lives up to the hype. It is about as, it's probably one of the better comedies that's come out over the past 5-10 years. Yeah, I love it.
It's very good. What's funny about it, though, is that the last season was by far the worst.
So, I agree. It was, now, it wasn't bad. It's just that
it
up
wasn't
to that
bad,
point,
but it, did you, how long did it take you to blow through the last season? Because I still haven't finished it because I have no desire.
You see, this is one of the few shows that I like didn't want it to be over because it's like such a.
Well, same
it's
with one me. Of the few, yeah. Yeah, same yeah, with me. And
the great thing about that show is that it consistently hits. Like, they don't throw many jokes out there that don't land. Like, most of them land, and that's really rare. And the guy, Daniel Levy, who's the son of Eugene Levy, who wrote most of it, is super talented. Like, the guy's like really funny, and it's one of these shows too that like balances, you know, not being too ridiculous, and also it's so well written and a great show. So there you go, Schitt's Creek. That's a show you got to watch. On top of that,
Bad
Best
Education
competition
for Best Comedy TV Movie, and Bad Education is a show that's a British comedy that I've been on board with for a long time. If you have Netflix, Bad Education. It's not the Tim Robinson show. But, you know, it will kill some time. It's good stuff.
All right, I'll watch some of that. Best competition program, RuPaul's Drag Race. They beat out The Masked Singer, Nailed It, Top Chef, and The Voice. What are four shows I've never watched? The Masked Singer, Eckersley, I'm all in. Actually, like, I've seen Nailed It. Nailed It's not bad.
They made Eckersley retire from Nailed It because he was winning every game.
It was all about his life.
The Tedeschi
Twins?
Did you
show a woman, he go, Nailed It.
The Tedeschi Twins? Nailed It. Yeah, baby.
Best limited series, Watchmen. That was a good show. Did you guys get to watch that?
No.
It's not bad. It's pretty good. And you know what's weird is that it's a comic book. Like, it's based on like a, you know, one of the best graphic novels, they say, of all time. But in it is an actual real life event that happened that I had never heard of, and it's like ridiculous. It's like this murder of like a bunch of black people in Tulsa that I had never heard of, and now all of a sudden this has become this huge story that there's a new generation of people who have never heard of this massacre that happened, and it was this show, Watchmen, about superheroes that made people realize, like, it had been kind of washed away from history books, and now it's back out, and people are crediting a show about superheroes for teaching that part of history that I can't believe I'd never learned about.
Yeah, so there was some, like, Library of Congress or something, top 100 books of all time, and Watchmen was one of them.
Well, yeah, the movie
best
sucked.
Best books of all time they had.
Yeah, ask. Yeah. Yeah, the movie sucked. And this isn't the book, the comic book. This is an adaptation of like characters from that. It's not the same story. It's characters from that are in this TV show.
Because I bought the book because I was like, oh, this is so good, but I can't figure out how to read a comic book. Like, I have no, like, it's too hard for me to read it linearly. I never read them growing up. It's just weird for me. Right. Now, if you give me a nice Family Circus one framer.
Yeah,
you know, I can figure out that the grandma's been dead for a while.
You're in, you're out. It's 20 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, if it's only an outline of the person, then it's a ghost.
Nice high and lowest.
You give me a high and lowest, and you know what? I'm feeling the same hearts that are coming out of the heads. Oh no, that's something else. That's another comic.
That's the Cats, and what is that one?
Oh yeah, that's the one.
So you talk about Rose is Rose.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Rose is Rose. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Rose is Rose.
Thank you, Ray Lewis.
Yeah,
I
look at
the
that
comic
cat.
Reading, Ray Lewis.
It's rubbing up against that lady's face. Look at that cat.
That's not very healthy. The Last Dance won Emmy for Best Documentary. It deserved it, although I can't say that I watched any of the other ones. Oh, it was up against Tiger King. And actually, I've seen three of these, Tiger King and McMillions. And I liked all three, but yeah, The Last Dance was the best of all of those.
Yeah, I bailed out of McMillions. Have you guys seen the one about The Challenger, the Netflix show? It's pretty good.
No.
No.
What's the angle on it?
The angle is that they knew... Well, first of all, it just gives you, like, background of all the people that were on it, and that's all interesting. And then they, like, knew. They were rushing all the shuttle launches because they felt pressure to get them up there to keep the funding. And they knew that there was a very big problem that could have blown up the Challenger, which ultimately did. And the guys that okayed it are still alive, and they are not remorseful in the least.
Jesus.
And jeez, so you know, they'll cut to one of those guys and then cut to one of the families. And by the way, these are not spoilers in that the, the Challenger blew up. And by the way, there is video of the gentleman at Fenway, and that is up on television right now.
Oh, yeah. That was during the game. Yeah, they showed it.
Oh, I didn't know.
They stopped. The game actually stopped.
They usually
don't show
the
camera went up and showed the guy. Well, yeah, I mean... The game stopped, and they're all looking at him, so they had to. So it's kind of like, and that's kind of a news story, too, is that a guy gets into the stadium.
He's up there with the camera guys. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Right there.
I'd like to thank the camera guys. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Bob Sosa.
So, Gordon Hayward back in the bubble, and afterwards he confirmed speculation that maybe, just maybe, he would be sticking around in the bubble, and he is going to indeed be doing that. He said that he had talked to his wife, and remember that very cryptic Instagram post that was put out there by his wife saying, next time my husband comes back, you know, there'll be another man in the house. And despite us saying that, hey, does that mean this? Does that mean he's going to be sticking around? A lot of people are like, no, you're an idiot, and there you go. He ends up confirming
it. Who's the idiot now?
Jerk's face. But on the top of that, Robin Hayward confirmed it as well. She put on her Instagram on Saturday night, no, I am not in labor. When I want to tell everyone when this boy is born, I will. Until then, LOL, please stop talking about it. Gordon isn't going to leave the bubble for the birth.
All right.
So stop asking that too.
Yeah. You hate it so much. Meanwhile, you're on Instagram.
Tell your world.
Yeah, she just hates it so much. Yeah, stop asking her questions. That's exactly what you want. Right, you on Instagram. You know who's not on Instagram? My wife. Pretty easy not to be on Instagram. You know, and you obviously know you have an audience, and you're obviously enjoying it. Ew. Boo. I don't like her. Stop asking about it. Here's little hints.
Ugh. Well, we were saying that she'll be the MVP if they end up going on and winning this.
That's very cute.
There you go. By the way, someone who I am very, very glad had a good weekend is this guy.
Snap. Set. His kick on the way. Good! Gostkowski bombs it home. And the Titans lead by 3 with 1:36 remaining.
End up kicking the game winner there, Steven Gostkowski. Good for him. Seems like he's had a little bit of a bounce back yesterday. A pretty good day at the office, seeing that in week one, he had missed 3 field goals and an extra point, and ended up winning the game winner after all. But the 2 wins they've got, those are Steven Gostkowski field goals. So good for him bouncing back. Hopefully it's just it's a matter of the yips or something that he's gotten over. That would be nice, and not something physical that he can't get over. So good for him. On top of that, Odell Beckham Jr., all of the trade speculation, he had a source come out that said, it's totally not true. He said, no idea where anyone would have gotten that. As a matter of fact, they're saying that they're emphatic that he does not want to be traded, which of course means, come trade deadline day, how much you going to offer?
Yeah.
Let's jack up the price for Odell Beckham Jr. Dan says that's crap.
Yeah, I get it.
Odell Beckham, Dan says that Odell Beckham has said that's crap.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It stinks. Those rumors just stink. always. Do you just imagine him rubbing his chin when he says that? Yeah. Like he's just pontificating about ass. Always.
Odell, yeah. That's the stuff.
Yes.
Always ass.
Yeah, so Odell Beckham...
I'm a bottom feeder.
By the way, the woman who is alleging those charges against Odell Beckham Jr., not the most attractive woman in the history of the world, but I would assume that it's a sliding scale of attractiveness in what is asking people on Instagram to perform such acts.
Speaking of asses, Leonard Fournette said this after the game about Tom Brady.
It's cool. I'm hard on Tom. Tom hard on me. You know, I he expect a lot on me. I expect a lot out of his ass. He's a six-time Super Bowl, so I expect a lot out of him. Just know that. And it's coming together. We still new. You know, we're still figuring each other out right now. I'm not talking about just Tom, but as a team.
Yeah, he always expects a lot out of his ass.
Always ass.
Why are you just crushing Edelman like that? Why do you got to dig the knife in? And second of all, congratulations again to LSU for the great education that they have coming out of there.
I'm a nice man.
Oh, boy.
Always,
he's
on. Always ass.
Yeah.
I'm a nice man.
Yes, you are.
Always ass.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, congratulations to everyone here involved with the show, including the Beasley family for taking this little radio empire and making it into something special. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
It just was.
I think Fred's point was...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.